Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right. Whoa. All right, 304. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We talked about the Rangers to start the first hour. Disappointing end to the Garden Party. It's now officially over. The Rangers got their ass kicked. Plain and simple, they got their ass kicked. And their stars aren't good enough. And their style of play or whatever else we want to blame or how good Florida was. Disappointing. Hideous end to a great season. Ultimately a failure. And that transitions right into the Mets. As I will tell you right now, let's start to talk a little baseball here. I told you heading in to this 10 game, I was putting a level of importance. You might not put it on there. I don't know how many other people did. I viewed this as a very important 10 game stretch. A 10 game homestand, the longest of the year. Heading into it, 7 games under 500. I thought that they needed to just eat at the very minimum. At the very minimum, just go 5-5, and you couldn't be any worse. That's how I viewed it. If they went into this 10-game homestand, knocked off 10 days off the calendar, finished out the month of May, started June, and were worse off after knocking 10 home games off the calendar, that this season would be in shambles, and it is, and they are dead. I'm willing to call it now. This Met team is dead. And I'll give you a bunch of reasons and all the different things that went into this homestand. I mean, we've talked about the Lopez thing forever, that series, the disaster that was the Dodger series. But, I mean, to win 3 games, to go 3-7 in this 10-game set, and then what happened in this Arizona series that bothers me is that they get off the deck. They have that meeting. Right, they have the meeting after the Dodger series, after the implosion, after all of it. We're talking about how embarrassed we are, what a terrible day it is, and this or that. And then they have a 4-game set against Arizona, and off of that meeting, 4-for-4 from Lindor. And they win that game, and they score runs. And then Friday night, the same thing. And the good feelings off of those 2 games, and you're hoping they can turn it around. And then Saturday, they have the Darryl Strawberry day, and he has that moment where he tells the fans he's so sorry that he ever left and he loves you while he's wearing a Yankee World Series championship ring. And he's telling you, oh, he wishes he could be here and the fans are the best. And just the beautiful day that was and the ceremony that it was. They're coming off 2 games against this lousy defending National League champion Arizona Diamondback team. They win those 2 games and they're hoping to get going and then they get there. Ass kicked. And these next 2 games where you lose them by blowout, and then, of course, what happened yesterday. And again, this team blows it in the 9th inning. Again, this bullpen is in shambles. The starting rotation doesn't go deep enough. I don't know if Senga's ever going to pitch again. The starting rotation just walks too many guys. It doesn't go deep enough, although the numbers aren't terrible. And you'll see performances. Like, Manaea was good in this game other than the Grand Slam. You know, Severino's shown signs of really pitching well. Scott, who's been sent down, showed signs of pitching well. McGill has pitched fairly well. The rotation has been the least of their problems, but it doesn't go deep enough for this now bullpen that is in complete shambles. But, I mean, after those 2 games to start this series, to get blown out on Saturday, and then, have a meaningless rally that, Pete doesn't want to talk about the Lopez series, but he'll tell you how important it was to get Sewald in the game on Saturday. And then on Sunday, he gets in the game. Real easy. had no impact on Sunday. That's the only, you could tell me that that means something if you actually get Sewell to be tired the next day. Instead, you go down rather meekly. And this offense, despite, you know, scoring some runs, they get the back-to-back triples in this game yesterday, and then nothing, like literally nothing the rest of the game. This offense has been atrocious, and I saved them for last because, yes, they are an absolute, I mean, it's just, it's incredible how bad this team is offensively and how much better they should be. But for me to go through this 10-game set with all the different emotions to get, you know, a miracle win to salvage a game against San Francisco, to get your doors blown off you against L.A., have it end with that ridiculous thing with Lopez and the embarrassment that that was, and then the need for a team meeting, and then to get off the deck for two games and make you feel a little bit better about this team, and then immediately right back in the tank where they get blown out on Saturday off the Daryl Strawberry thing, and then get an absolute heartbreaker, on Sunday, and lose in every manner. I mean, they find ways to lose, and for me, that was it. I don't know what else to say about this team. They are, I mean, their offense is just abysmal. They do absolutely nothing. The pitching staff doesn't go deep into the games, and the bullpen, whether it's fair on, I mean, they're ravaged by injury. They got rid of Lopez. They've lost arguably two of their best relievers. Reed Garrett's coming back to earth a little bit, although he pitched well on Sunday. Same thing with Ottavino. Good start, has been terrible the last few weeks, although he pitched fairly well on Sunday. Like, this bullpen's in shambles. The team stinks. There's zero leadership, and just when you think they're about to get off the deck, just when you think they might show you something, they let this Arizona Diamondback team just beat them around on Saturday. And then Sunday, blow a game in the ninth inning by having Diekman pitch. I mean, that's who's closing out games for you right now. And they are now 11 games under 500, 16 and a half back of Philadelphia, which I don't even necessarily care about, because if you're going to do standings, yeah, I mean, in the wild card standings, they aren't wildly out of it. I mean, they're five games out of a wild card spot with a million teams. I mean, they have only the Rockies and the Marlins are worse than them. Only the Rockies and the Marlins are worse. I mean, it's just, this is it. To leave that homestand, and especially the way it ended, because you were hoping you could get something and not be able to get that split, in those last two games, and to get blown out and then have the ninth inning implosion that you had. It's just an absolute disaster. This team is an absolute disaster. And I right now, I don't see a way to come back from it. Like, this was it for me. This was a line of demarcation. You couldn't leave this 10-game set worse than you came in. And they are four games further under 500 than when they came in. And right now, all that matters is think of all the different guys who are going to go. The entire starting rotation might be traded. I mean, you could trade Quintana, you can trade Severino, you can trade Manaea, you can trade all of these guys. You're going to trade J.D. Martinez, who's at least showing a pulse here a little bit. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Who are they going to trade? Because this team is, it's just, they're dead. And I thought that meeting, and then they had the opportunity the next day, like, it was important to build on that. And that's really what hurts, because you have that game, right? J.D. Martinez wakes up a little bit. You score some runs on Thursday night. Obviously, 4-for-4 from Lindor, which I thought was important. And the team tells you, well, listen, that meeting was as good a meeting as I've been a part of. And, you know, it really feels like, you know, we need to, you know, start figuring out a way to prepare better and all that nonsense that I told you about, that they don't feel like they're working hard enough. And that's not a new thing. And a lot of people right now, you know, want to kind of look at Mendoza and go, well, if you look back at spring training, you heard about how loose it was and how comfortable it was and how there was, you know, it felt like a different team as opposed to Buck. And it was, you know, a little bit looser, a little bit lighter. And that's why they're having these issues with fundamentals. And that's why we're questioning the work ethic. That's not true. Last year, we had Tommy Pham, who's ready to kick ass. Maybe we'll play that audio. That was funny, as he's a little bit of a lunatic. But Tommy Pham told you last year that he didn't believe this team works hard. This has been an issue with this group. So I'm not ready to blame Mendoza, although he's a part of it. Everyone's a part of it right now. But they don't do anything well. They don't play defense. They're horrendous. They don't hit. They don't pitch. The bullpen's falling apart. And right now, coming off that 10-game homestand, I have nothing else to say, but I no longer believe the Mets have it in them to get back into this season. That was it for me. I needed them to at least show me a pulse enough where they could leave 500 in this 10-home game stand and not get any worse. You can't knock off 10 home games, your largest home stand of the year, and lose, you know, 3 out of 10, and lose 7 out of 10 and fall further behind 500. You can't have it. And you can't have it as dramatic as it was, have that moment, have that meeting, win 2 games, and then give it right back with getting blown out and then blowing it in the ninth. And the offense doing nothing. They score a couple runs in the third inning, and then they don't do anything the rest of the game. This offense never tacks on. Ever. And they have, I mean, Lindor, again, does nothing in this game, 0-for-4. You thought he was getting hot, and I know it's one game, but it just felt like if they were going to build on something, they needed to do it right then. And yeah, they're heading in to play Washington. They should be able to beat Washington. But right now, I don't trust them to beat anybody. And it's just, and then especially off the strawberry, like, it's just the team is just, that's it. It's done for me. It's done. 888-808-1019. And then, of course, you get the Yankees, who are the complete opposite, where Judge and Soto are the only two players in all of baseball to have an OPS over 1. That's it, just the two of them. And they figure out ways to win, as opposed to the Mets, who figure out ways to lose. It's just the difference of what a good team does and what a bad team does. And I'm not trying to rub it in your face as a Yankee fan. It is what it is. And the Yankees right now are a machine. And Soto comes through with the big, you know, 2 home runs in yesterday's game. One early to get set the tone of the game. And then obviously after the Volpe triple, he hits the home run. I mean, he's coming through in every big-time spot. And what Judge did, I want to get into that a little bit more tomorrow because we got 5 hours. And I want to talk about Judge and where he stands in Yankee history right now and how we view people in today's age in baseball, because I think it's interesting where Judge sits and how we think of him right now, because he is as good as any player I've ever seen. And what he did this weekend at coming back to San Francisco, his home, where he spurned the Giants in favor of re-signing with the Yankees, and what he did in the series and how he has dominated baseball. This is a guy who was terrible. Terrible. In April. And he is, I mean, it's just crazy how good he is. It's scary how good the Yankees are. They lose Clark Schmidt. Petit steps in, gives you a Clark Schmidt performance. I mean, the bullpen is, you know, at the as good as almost any in baseball, with names you don't even trust them necessarily, and you probably still got more guys coming in Efros and maybe Trevino, although they could add players to that. But I mean, right now, show me the weakness of the New York Yankees. And the game yesterday to get off the deck, and even Gleyber Torres, who has the biggest hit for me to get it started with a single. And I'll tell you what, you want to know what the real, if you look at yesterday's game-winning inning, where they head down 2 runs in the ninth, if you want to take a look at what this team is, yes, it's hitting home runs. Yes, it's the power. Yes, it's Soto and Judge. Yes, it's the ace-like starting pitching they're getting without Gerrit Cole even throwing a pitch at this season. It's all of that. But you know what this team is, too? You want the epitome of this team? It's Jose Trevino beating out a double play ball. Because Jose, right after Gleyber Torres gets a single, Trevino hits an albeit slow ground ball. Didn't get a lot on it, but hits a ground ball to short right next to second base. It is a tailor-made, with a catcher running, it is a tailor-made double play to put a real damper on any hopes of having a comeback there in the ninth inning. And instead, he hustles his ass off and just beats it out, and it leads to what happens next, which is the Volpe triple and then the Soto home run. And what we're seeing from Volpe, forget it. Listen, I know I was on the record about DJ LeMahieu. If Volpe's going to be this, you don't move him. I'd be a fool to say otherwise. I still, in my mind, like the lineup better like that, but Volpe at the top, I'm not touching it right now. He's been killing it. He hits another big triple to change the game. I mean, you know they're going to win the game. Once that happens, they're going to win the game. Soto is going to come through, and they are going to win the game. And everything about the New York Yankees right now is, and you know, I heard a caller before bring up the 22 team and how he's surprised everybody so crazy about this team. And you look at the 22 team, and they had a better record than the Yankees did at this point. It's not even close. The reason why this team is far better, one, it has Soto in the lineup, and it's Judge and Soto. But two, left field actually has a left fielder. And the starting rotation, you know, doesn't even have Cole yet in it, and you feel really good about it. The bullpen has more guys, and they have the ability to add. I mean, this team is so much more complete. They're good defensively, in the outfield especially. I mean, Soto is so much better a right fielder than anybody gave him credit for. I understand, you know, he's not a burner, but watch him playing every day. Soto is a solid to probably above average right fielder. Judge is an excellent center fielder. And Verdugo has changed this team with the way he plays left field defensively. I mean, they are so much more of a complete team than they were, despite the record being better in 22. This team is so much more complete. There are so less holes. This is almost, I mean, you could argue Rizzo's an issue, and you could try and improve either first or third. You can add a bullpen arm at the trade deadline. But ultimately, right now, as long as this team stays healthy, which, by the way, you want to talk about, I've mentioned this a bunch, the urgency of a game. Previous years under Boone, especially, but previous years of the New York Yankees, having already secured a winning road trip, having already secured a series victory against the Giants on a Sunday game, a getaway game, flying back home after a long West Coast trip, I can tell you right now, previous years do not throw out their best starting lineup. Judge gets a day off. I mean, Soto plays every day, but I mean, the Sotos of previous generations would get the day off. Like, they would throw out what a lot of fans would call a punt lineup. And while I never agree with that term, Judge would get the double off day. There would be something. There would be something in that lineup where it wouldn't be the best Yankee lineup. And instead, this Yankee team is playing their best players. They are not messing around. And watch them celebrate in the ninth. Watch them get after it every single game. What's noticeable about this team, beyond what Soto brings and everything else, is the competitiveness and the every day is important. And the Yankees have gotten away from that. And over the last handful of years, and I haven't put as much credence on it, I'll put my hand up, over the last couple of years, other guys have been more on it. I've recognized it. I've said it's definitely happening. But I didn't think it impacted the team as much as many other people saying, and I still don't know if it did. But what I can tell you now is this team is not doing that. This team is playing everybody every day. This team has shown an urgency to every game, no matter how the first two games of a series went. They're out to cut your throat in game three. I mean, that's just how it's been. This team has a different feel to it. This team is much more intense than the last couple of years. And yes, they're better and more talented, and Verdugo and Soto have changed it, and even Stanton being healthy and some, and you know, he's cooled off a little bit, but still pretty productive overall, has been a major impact as opposed to who they were playing last year and even 2 years ago. But it's more than that. It's the level of compete this team brings, and it's a daily basis. It's every game. Again, I'm telling you, having already secured that series and have already had a winning road trip, there is no doubt in my mind Judge gets a day off. If this were last year or 2 years ago, Judge gets the day. Now, maybe being it in San Francisco, he wants to play every game in San Francisco, might have had something to do with it. But ultimately, no. This guy and this team and this manager have handled things completely different. There are still games with the bullpen. He's not going to, you know, blow out arms. He's going to do what he thinks is right. We might disagree with it, but for the most part, everybody's playing every single day. They have bench players. They have bench players who don't play. Like the Yankees have never done this. They're big on making sure everybody plays, getting everybody involved. You'll never know when you need them. Like Jones never plays. They have guys on the bench who don't play. They play their starters every game. This is completely different than previous New York Yankee teams. Completely different, whether they want to admit it or not. They have come out with a sense of urgency unlike previous teams. And it's paying off in big dividends. Because right now, they're the best team in baseball. Let's get to the calls. 888-808-1019. Aaron in Ontario, Canada. What's up?
Yeah, hi, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you for holding on, bud.
All right, thanks. Condolences to your Rangers. I'm a Leaf fan. We haven't won since 67.
Yeah, it's been tough for you.
Yes. I was going to talk about Juan Soto.
Uh-huh.
And because I listened to the Yankee games. And, okay, he started off with Washington. I guess at 19, he won a World Series with them. I think he was with them for 3 or 4 years. He turned down $440 million. Is that what I recall.
Yeah, I mean something like that, right around those numbers, whether you're spot on or not. But yes, right around there.
And then he went to San Diego, but I don't know if he went there to win or that was just a stopgap. Now when
he went there because he was traded. I mean,
that's true. It was a 7-player trade. Okay. And then he went to the Yankees, but you know when he joined the Yankees, they had just come off that 82-80 season. Garrett Cole was hurt. Judge had that toe problem. They didn't have a clue how good the pitching staff was. So it's not like he joined a juggernaut. Now they are a juggernaut. Do you think if he hits 50 homers and they win the World Series, will he demand like $800 million? And what will they do with Judge if they give him that?
What do you mean? What will they do with Judge if they give?
Will they have to renegotiate his? I can't see them giving Soto that much money and Judge sign that deal for $360 million. I mean, will they have to renegotiate Judge, or will he be happy with that?
Yeah, he'll be happy with it.
He will.
He's gonna. This narrative. And thank you for the call. I don't understand it. I'd have to go back and check what years Judge has opt-outs. I don't remember if he does or he doesn't. I can go look at the contract. If he opts out because he wants a better contract, then maybe that'll happen. I don't think so. I'd have to go back and check. I'm not sure he has opt-outs. I don't remember thinking in my mind that he has opt-outs. But I'm not 100% sure at the moment. I'll go back and check. But he might opt out to get more money because the money in baseball is going up and he's a great player. But he is not going to have a problem with Juan Soto getting paid. I don't understand why people think this. No opt-outs. I thought so. He's not going anywhere. They're not going to have to renegotiate his contract. He hit free agency, and he got a massive contract. He gets paid the most per year as any player in baseball. Regular player, pitchers, have made more. He gets paid more than anyone. He hit his contract year in 62 home runs and negotiated a monster contract with the New York Yankees. The next guy makes more. That's how it works from contract to contract. You think he's concerned about what Juan Soto's going to get next year and whether or not he's going to feel the respect? You think he has to be the highest paid player? And you know what? He might be close. The money annually might be close. He's going to get more years because he's hitting free agency 4 years earlier than Judge hit it, 4 years younger. I don't understand why people think Judge is going to have a problem with Juan Soto getting paid. I don't remember. Did we say this with anyone else? I don't remember. Again, I wasn't doing a talk show, but I don't remember. Did anyone think Jeter would have a real problem with what A-Rod got paid? Was that a real talking point? Oh, you can't pay A-Rod more than Jeter. Oh, you can't pay Giambi more than Jeter. Like, why? Why? I don't know why all of a sudden Aaron Judge can't be making less money than someone else on the team. If he wins the World Series, if the two of them win a World Series together, he's not going to want it to end. Now, $800 million, to your point? No, I don't know if he's going to get $800 million. Is there a chance he approaches that with some sort of contract like Ohtani got and it's all deferred for 100 years? I suppose there's some sort of craziness where he can get around Ohtani money at $700 million. I don't know if that's plausible, if he's willing to take those kind of deferments or deferrals. But it's possible the contract gets up big, yeah. And everybody's hung up on the idea he turned down $450 million from Washington. Like, that means, you know, he's looking for crazy money. He might not have liked the situation in Washington. They won a championship and then went right into the tank. Like, there's other determining factors on him turning down that money. Plus, you know, he thought he'd make more. He trusted in himself. He knew he was going to get paid big money. Even in arbitration, he makes $30 million in his final year of arbitration. Well, they paid him without, you know, going to arbitration. But you know what I'm saying? Like, he knew he was going to make big money these last couple of years. And then he was still, at 26, going to be able to get an enormous contract. So he didn't want to sign right then and there. He trusted in himself and didn't want to sign with the Nationals. I mean, yeah, you're going to have to pay him at least that much money. And I know Scott Boras is his agent. He's going to want to get paid. But here we are again talking about Juan Soto's contract instead of the two home runs he hit. And then the angle of what would Judge do, like, what do you do about Judge then? What do I do about Judge? I hit him third. That's what I do. I hit Judge third where I'm hitting him now. I don't think about Judge. Judge has nothing to do with this. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I don't understand. I mean, I don't understand this. Juan Soto wins the game for the Yankees. They are freaking high-flying. This team is the best team in baseball. The starting rotation is, as Gerrit Cole is about to start a rehab assignment on Tuesday, and he's weeks away. He's weeks away. He could be here before June ends. They have the best rotation in baseball, and they haven't had their ace. He's coming back. The Yankees are the best. I mean, as a dynamic in offense, and they can't hit great pitching. They've hit good pitching this entire trip. I mean, Webb wasn't a problem. They've hit good pitching. They've beaten good teams. I mean, Judge and Soto are the two best hitters in all of baseball. You had Volpe to the top of the lineup and a healthy Stanton behind it, what Verdugo has done, top to bottom. This is a unbelievably great team right now, playing as good as any team in baseball. In fact, they are the best team in baseball, with the best record in baseball. And they just had another come-from-behind win on a game where it would have easily been, let's get on the plane. We've already had a successful road trip here, West Coast trip. We've done really well. We already won this series. Let's just, you know, what the hell, let's just get home. And instead, they fight and claw and come from behind two runs against a very good, hard-throwing closer. Soto hits two home runs, including the game winner, essentially, in the ninth inning to give them the lead. And what's the story? Well, how much is he going to make, and what is it going to make Judge feel like? Or, you know, are they going to be able to sign him? What? Why are we talking about that? Let's talk about how he's going to impact this team winning a championship. I've never experienced this before. Every time he does something, it's about who he's going to sign with. It's driving me crazy. Until he doesn't hit in the postseason, then everyone's going to say he's a bum. You know, that's what's going to happen. I mean, geez, it's just, it's mind-boggling to me how much this Soto stuff is just, it's been about his contract and instead of what he's doing on the field. The guy comes through every time. He's better than we thought he was. And I understand, listen, Judge is better. And that's what's crazy. As good as Soto is, Judge is better. What we're seeing from Judge right now, I mean, to come home to San Francisco, to get booed in San Francisco, and to finish May and start June the way he did in this series, hitting these bomb home runs. I mean, it's just, you can't get him out. And imagine if he had a decent April. Forget if he had a good April. Imagine if he had a decent April. He was awful in April. And he's the best, and he's got the best numbers in the sport. But no, let's talk about where Juan Soto is going to be next year. Instead of what's going on. Instead of giving Cashman his due. Instead of giving Brian Cashman his due. Because you know what? We just saw Montgomery pitch against the Mets. We just saw Blake Snell pitch against the Yankees and leave the game with another injury. And I think he's got a 9 ERA, talking about how much he missed spring training. Do you remember when the Yankees didn't care about winning? Do you remember when Hal and Cash didn't care about winning because they wouldn't go out and bolster their rotation with Montgomery or Snell? You remember? Remember when Cashman was an idiot? I do. I certainly do. I remember when Cashman was a moron. Cole goes down. How could you not sign these guys? Does he even care? Does Hal care? Hal won't spend the money. The best, you know, Stroman is the best they could do. How's Stroman doing, by the way? How's Stroman doing? How's Luis Gil doing? I mean, this team is extremely deep. This rotation is excellent. The bullpen is the Matt Blake show rolls on. He continues to, you know, find guys and get the best of them. And Clay Holmes is, you know, despite a couple of hiccups, for the most part, has been tremendous. And they are figuring out ways to win. And the team has been put together. And this is as complete a team they have had. Because, yes, Juan Soto changes it. Verdugo changes it. A healthy Stanton changes it. And they still got Jason Dominguez, who's hit, what, 4 home runs? And is playing the outfield on a regular basis now in his rehab assignment? They're going to add depth with him. They're going to add the ace and last year's Cy Young Award winner in Gerrit Cole to this team. They are an absolute juggernaut. And instead of talking about that, instead of focusing on the idea that this team has an excellent chance to be the first team since 2009 to go back to the World Series and win it, and talking about the idea they're 3 games up on Baltimore and 10 games up on anybody else, and the division is down to them and the Orioles, and that's it. And instead of talking about how good this team can be and what we're watching and how great Judge is and how great Soto is, instead the conversation is, are they going to be able to sign him? Can't stand it. Can't stand it.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 342. As me and Fleece were just talking about this Soto situation, and what he just said as we were coming to break is he's right. It used to just be sad, pathetic Met fans. It used to just be these pathetic Met fans who still hit up my timeline, and I love doing it. On every time he comes through, I just go, Soto is a New York Yankee, because that's all I'm focused on. He is one right now. And I think people think I mean he is one for life. I just mean he is one right now. And I'm not, it's an anti, let's talk about where Soto's going to be next year tweet. It's just, Soto is a New York Yankee. And he is helping them win a lot of games. But all the reaction is from these pathetic Met fans who have nothing else to focus on because their season's over. And so they're focused on how they can rebuild. And Juan Soto in free agency is how they're going to do it. And of course, you know, the money's coming off the books and Steve Cohen's going to offer him $1 billion and he's going to take it. So we'll see what happens. But it's more than just that now. It seems like it's more than just the pathetic Met fan looking to either tweak a Yankee fan or justify his existence, his or her existence as Met fans. It's more than that. It's everybody. It's everybody every time he does something, and he's so damn good that he does something every game, and this is the conversation. He hits a home run. He hits two home runs. He hits a game-winning home run. He makes a play out in the outfield. Hits a bases-clearing triple. Where's he going to play next year? How much money is he going to take? Every at-bat ups his value, even Yankee fans. Every time he comes through, open checkbook. Pay him whatever, Hal. Like, why are we so focused on his free agency at all times? It's crazy. Craig in Hoboken. What's up, Craig?
Hey, what's up, C-Mac?
Listen, how are you?
I want to touch base on that guy that called before about the Rangers. First of all, he wants to save his forward check-in. Let me tell you something. You want the story real quick? It was the Panthers 4. They won 4 games. Shesterkin won 2. You want to talk about they were outplayed? Let me tell you, other than them beating a horrible Washington team, and let's be honest, that was a horrible Washington team. They didn't deserve to be in playoffs.
At the end of the day,
they did not. They could have easily been swept by the Hurricanes. So let's be honest. And series could have went either way.
It could have went either way. They did win it, though. I mean, you can't just discredit it. I agree with you.
Could have went either way.
Yeah, I know. Well, every series. I mean, most series could go either way. I mean, you don't take away trophies for World Series that could have went either way. But I understand your point. Looking back on that Carolina series now, it's more glaring to me after watching this Florida team how close
they didn't show up.
They didn't show up. The Stars didn't show up. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I mean, a lot of Ranger fans seem to be upset with that notion because they won 2 games and they played fairly well in Game 6, I suppose, better than 3-4 in Florida. That was their best game in that building. Okay, that's true. But they couldn't create anything offensively. I mean, like, anything in this game. I never felt like they were going to score a goal.
Even if you put Jason Robinson from Dallas on that team, what are you adding? Another person that scores a lot. You're still going to have a problem. One guy's going to beat a whole team. It doesn't work that way. I mean, maybe it does in other sports, but.
Well, what are you going to do?
It doesn't.
How many guys can you add? What can you do? Like, exactly. Get it. I mean, I don't know what you do.
You got to. Obviously, they can't win when it comes down to it. They can't win that big game.
Do you think do you think there's a way they can win with Panarin, Zibanejad, Kreider being the best players?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Sadly.
I'm there too.
I don't.
I'm there with you.
I believe you 100%.
That doesn't mean those three players can't be here anymore. It just means I can't rely on them as heavily as I did. And they have to change, you know, they have to change some things because they play these teams who play that kind of defense and who have the kind of speed and they're on you as quickly as they are, and they just can't adapt. And I'm tired of hearing, and I've heard it a bunch of different times, Panarin needs space, and Florida takes away space, so what do you expect? I don't know. I expect a great player to do great things. Call me crazy. I expect Panarin to be able to figure out a way to create without the space. I expect him to overcome it and be a factor in the series. And when he isn't, it can't just fall back to, well, they know how to play him. They know how to play him. If you're going to be the best team, you're going to be the best player on the best team in the NHL, which is what happened. They were the best team in the NHL this year. Can't take it away from them. It's a regular season, but they were. And he was their best player outside of Igor. If you are the best player on the best team in the big moments, you can't just fall back on, well, they know how to play him. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. What other player is allowed that? Like, and I'm not saying it's the majority of Ranger fans or not, but that's been a recurring thing I've heard. Well, they took away his, you know, not even to say, hey, it doesn't matter, he's a great player, we'll get him next time. Like, I think people recognize it, but it's sort of just like, hey, what are you going to do? I mean, they know how to play him. As if that's okay. Or as if, well, you know, there's nothing else you can do. Well, if he's the kind of player who all you have to, if there's a formula to take him out of series and it's obvious to everybody, including the fans sitting at home, well, how do you expect to win with him? How do you expect to ever have him make an impact in a series? If it's just that easy to brush it away. If it's that easy to say, hey, we can shut him down, that's easy. It opens up lanes for Lafreniere, but we'll shut down like Panarin. It's just, it can't happen. You can't have a guy that easily shut down. Not as your best player, not as someone you're going to rely on the level they rely on him. Mike and Merrick, what's up, Mike? How are we doing today, bud?
Yo, Wismack, how are ya?
I'm okay. How are you?
Let's talk about these Rangers, yo. I watched that game 6. You said to everybody, don't worry, Rangers are in game 6. No. Florida won that game 6.
Mm-hmm.
What? Why did you say the Rangers going to win game 6?
Why did we say the Rangers were going to win game 6?
Yeah.
Because we were foolish and naive.
No. You know why?
Why?
We blame it on Igor. Igor, a passion, the whole range of players did not do anything right. They didn't do right. Because Matt Revy did not play the third period. Revy played the first period? Fine. Second period? Fine. Never put Revy in the third period. Why did King put Revy in the third period? We should have won that game.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, I love you, and I know you're trying to figure out how your beloved Rangers lost. It had nothing to do with Matt Rempe. Other than they should have never dressed him, quite honestly. Because he was never going to play him. And he didn't dress in game 6. So that's not why they lost game 6. I'm not sure if you were specifically talking about game 6. But I know what you said, you know, was accurate in many of the other games where he would play two and a half minutes. He'd play 4 shifts and he wouldn't play in the third period because they didn't trust him. And Matt Rempe was not going to be the make or break difference in this series. I'm sorry. I don't know what people think. We get hung up on these fan favorites. We get hung up on these guys. I know Mark Messier called for him, and I know Sean Avery called for him, and I know the idea of him bringing that. Like, it wasn't going to change anything. You saw it on the ice. It wasn't going to change anything. With one breath, we'll say, oh, it's not one player is not enough, and then the next breath, oh, Rempe should have been out there. Rempe, he wasn't going to help this team, and he wasn't trusted by the coach to play the game. That's it. That's not why they lost. It's not why they lost. We know why they lost. Everybody knows, whether you want to admit it or not. You know why they lost. They lost because their best players didn't play. And you got on, Mike, you got on Igor? Mike. He's the one guy you can't get on. He's the one guy. I mean, he's the only reason they got as far as they got. He was incredible the entire playoff. Like, can you look back at maybe 3 goals in the series you wish he could have saved? Sure, but I can look back at 20 that I thought he probably shouldn't have and somehow miraculously found a way to stop it. Like, I mean, it's just, it's impossible to get on Igor. It's impossible. Unless you wanted just shutouts. Unless you just wanted shutouts, it's impossible to get on Igor. He was brilliant. And that's the saving grace of this whole thing, is you feel at least moving forward, you have one of, if not the best goalie in the NHL. So you've at least got that. You know moving forward, at least you have that foundational piece where you trust it. But at the same time, you don't want to waste it. I don't know how many years. And, you know, we talk about it. It's not exactly the same. But we look at how fortunate certain teams are in the NFL in particular, where they go from one quarterback to the next, right? The Packers go from Brett Favre right to Aaron Rodgers. And each of those won a championship. They go, the Colts go from Peyton Manning to Luck. And unfortunately for Luck, his career didn't last long, but that's still remarkable, as good as he was, to go from one right into the other. And the Rangers are pretty much going right from Hank into Igor. And if they go through both of these goalies, like, you want to talk about, I don't know much, I'll be the first to admit, I don't know too much about Rangers history, all in all. I can't tell you, what the 60s were like, what the 70s were like. Wasn't around for it, don't know. But what I can tell you is, it is hard to tell me that's not the most frustrating 20 years in Rangers hockey. If they go through having one of the best goalies in the league in Hank, one of the great all-time New York Rangers, a stalwart of the organization and franchise, a beloved fan favorite, one of the better-looking men on the planet, and a guy who is just always great, terrific in game sevens. Like, you could not have asked Hank to do more. And you go right into Igor Shesterkin, who, when he's at the top of his game, is the best goalie in the league. When he's at the top of his game, is even better than Hank. And has given you playoff performances worthy of getting you to a Stanley Cup final, but you can't help him at all. If they go through both of these goalies, if Hank's career ends, which it already has, and Igor's career ends, and neither of them won a Stanley Cup with the New York Rangers, that is as disappointing a time period in any... That's the most disappointing time you could have in a fan base. It's like having the great quarterback. It's like having Aaron Rodgers. It's like Dan Marino followed up by another great quarterback and never winning in Miami. Unfortunately, they haven't found a quarterback since. Maybe Tua is the guy now. I don't think so, but maybe. But it would be like Rodgers. It would be like Favre to Rodgers without ever winning. It would be like Manning to Luck without ever winning. You've got to find a way to win a cup with Igor Shesterkin. You have to. You can't have both of these goalies, face of the franchise, which eventually Igor will become. You can't have both of these guys playing at the level they're playing for hopefully the years they're going to play it, and not have one championship between the two of them. It can't happen. So they have to figure this out.